God is working out a plan. But it's all about perception. It's all about how you see it. It's all about how it is that you are looking at things, the angle that you're seeing things. And there are all these little things that go on in our lives, all these little things that take place, that happen. And we need God's perspective. We need to see things from God's viewpoint, from the angle that he is presenting it. And so the idea of perception is certainly, the meaning of the word is the ability to see and to hear or to become aware of something, or the state of being or a process of becoming aware through the senses. And God uses situations. He uses our physical bodies. He uses all of the things that we experience in life to speak to us. And God will get to us no matter what it takes. Everybody's personality is a little different. We have some similarities, but everybody is a little bit different, isn't that right? And everybody sees things differently. It's like when you get married, right? You marry somebody who's usually the opposite of you, right? And so you feel like you're going to strangle each other after a while. You know, but then you begin to realize that, all right, God gave me this person to balance me out because I was probably a little too much the way I am. So I need somebody to kind of kick me in the pants a little bit, or pull me along this way, or, you know, challenge me in this area and that area. And so, you know, we go through these things in order for God to refine us so that we can be more effective. It's the old teeter-totter principle. One is up and one is down, right? You go up and down and up and down. Everybody can't be down at the same time. Otherwise, there's nobody up, right? And everybody can't be up at all the time, because sometimes you need to come down, right? So, and that's the way life is. And God wants us to see things from his perspective. He has a divine perspective. And so God is molding us and shaping us. He's helping us to understand his ways, and understanding his viewpoint, his mental impression. What is God thinking? What is he doing? What is he aware of, his insights that I don't know? And so often we find ourselves in situations and we say, hey, you know, I don't understand what's going on. This doesn't even make any sense to me. But really, God knows and he understands, because so often there are things going on behind the scenes that we will never see or know that God is dealing with simultaneously as we endure the challenges that we face and the difficulties that we face. And whenever we go through hardships and difficulties, rather than look at them at face value, we need to say, okay, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? Maybe you're like Jonah and you're avoiding doing what God called you to do. Or maybe you're like Job and God is just refining you and he's actually bragging on you in heaven. And so the devil says, well, I know his weak spots. I'm going to bring those out. I'm going to bring those to the surface. And so we know that God enables us through this. And, you know, we see it even in the gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit, one of them is discernment, right? And it's the idea of appreciating or recognizing what God is saying, being cognizant of what the Holy Spirit is saying, being able to perceive God, having an awareness or grasping or understanding of what it is that God is saying and doing at any point in your day, in your relationship with God. I was the manager of an office in the city when I was working downtown, and one of the challenges I had with some of the Christians is they didn't know when it was time to actually work versus talk about Jesus. You know, and so as a Christian, you become conflicted, right? Because you're like, well, it's good everybody's talking about Jesus. Well, it's great to talk about Jesus. But at the same time, well, goodness, we got to get this work done. And it has to be done within a certain time frame. And so being able to balance out when it's time to do what you're supposed to be doing and talking about the Lord is a challenge sometimes. And so we need to have discernment. And then sometimes you need to make that sacrifice and say, I'm going to get a little less done for the sake of helping someone through a situation where I know that the Holy Spirit is compelling me to speak to someone. But that can't be your everyday life on your job, or you'd be fired. I'm going to say, well, in the name of Jesus, you're fired. I fire you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I fire you because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because of the cause of Jesus. You're a bad witness because we're not getting work done. And that's what they hired us to do. And so we have to have discernment and the ability to perceive and to picture, be able to recognize when God is saying something and doing something and being able to balance these things out. And so Job had to go through this process. Job was a man who was righteous. In fact, I kind of think he's self-righteous, even though he's not really self-righteous because God bragged on him. So, you know, it's kind of a tough call. I don't want to go against what God is saying about him. But when you look at the story, he is very confident in himself, in all of his accomplishments. Yet at the same time, he does have faith in God. And then, of course, he's got his advisors, right, his friends. And the challenge with having God-aware friends, I'll call them God-aware friends, they tend to come in and try to give you their perspective. But it's not their perspective you're looking for, it's God's. It's God's perspective that we want. We want to know, what is it that's going on? God was bragging in heaven. A whole conversation took place, and with the angels present, with Satan and God. How do you know that's not happening to you? That may not have been just a one time in all of the history of man that took place. I bet you God is bragging on people all the time. I think a lot of times we go through things because God is bragging on us. Because God is it. Satan, surely he doesn't get tired of going around looking for people to accuse or to challenge. And I bet you every century maybe, or maybe even every month maybe every year, maybe it's every week, maybe every day, God says to Satan after he's been around while we were sleeping. And the Lord says, well, how about this brother? How about this sister? What about this person? And God begins to point out people. And Satan says, and he rattles down all of our weaknesses and all of our shortcomings. And then God says, yes, but he will not deny me. And so we go through these challenges and these difficulties. And so, unlike Jonah, who brought the challenge on himself, though we have our share of that too, but certainly it may not be all the time that we go through things. So maybe it's the bragging by God and then coming to this understanding as Job did. And Job went through all that he did, and he finally stopped listening to his friends. And he stopped listening to his friends because God got through to him. He finally realized that what they were saying wasn't exactly right. It can't be right. And so often we listen to the wrong people in our lives. And no matter how well-meaning people may be, you need to hear the voice of God. You can't go based on what somebody else says. You can't go by what somebody else's idea is, especially someone who has no divine perspective. People have human perspectives. I call it the Jesus seasoning approach to Christian living. You know, their manifestation of God for themselves is very limited. In fact, if you pull back and look at the big picture, a lot of people who do the most talking are on a downhill trend or trail. They're actually failing in their fulfillment of the Great Commission and impacting people for the cause of Christ and leaving a legacy of bad experiences and situations and circumstances. circumstances behind them simply because they have the wrong perspective. And if you listen to the wrong people, then you too will find yourself suffering in ways that you really could have avoided. And had you have listened to the right persons, then you would have heard God's perspective. But if you don't know God's perspective, you won't know who the right person is to listen to, even though they're standing right in front of your face. And that comes out of your relationship with God, cultivating your walk with God, being able to recognize what the word of the Lord is saying and what he's doing and how it all comes together. And so Job was suffering. He was going through all that he went through, lost everything. And it wasn't until he came to this place of divine perspective and he repented before God. He repented before God. And you would say, how can a man who God was bragging on need to repent? Well, I can assure you, we all need to repent. We all need to repent every day. We all need to repent over and over again. And what does that mean? That means we need to have an awareness of what we're doing and how we're doing it and how we need to do it differently. Some people have the same old, you know that phrase, right? I say that's a sad person. That's a sad person. Because every day God ought to be doing something different in your life. And he ought to be giving you revelations. Oh, I tell you, you say, well, what's the word? You ever hear people say that? What's the word? Oh, I'll tell you what the word is. You know, I was just reading earlier today. Hallelujah. In fact, I got a text and it was John chapter 3. Or whatever it is. And every day, a word comes to you. Somebody's sending out these messages, right? You'll get these daily devotionals. They come from, you know, various people. So you have a word every day. Isn't that right? Quite a few words, absolutely. And if you have a relationship with God that is actually biblical, you will find that you are spending time with God every day. And you are actually talking to God and communing with God. And he begins to cause his word to come alive around you and in the midst of you. And it speaks to your heart and it ministers to you throughout the day. And you have a word. The problem is not whether or not you have the word. The problem is, are you too afraid to share it? Can you overcome the fear of sharing that word? And how much easier could it get if somebody asks you, hey, what's the word? Man, that is like God saying, give this guy the gospel. I mean, you don't have to be a great evangelist to step out and pursuing a missions trip to come up with that one. That's like, you know, somebody says, hey, what's new with you? What? Oh, let me tell you. Man, I just had this great experience with God. I was reading the word, and you know, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I realized this is what I need to do. And this is what God is saying to me. And you just share what God is saying to you. We have too many people wanting to talk about what God is saying for them to tell you or to tell somebody else. I would challenge you, stop telling other people what God is saying and help them get to a place where they can hear from God for themselves. Because that's what God really wants. He wants us to have a right relationship with him. And so we speak into people's lives to help them get closer to God. That's what God wants. And as we are able to hear and perceive, God changes things in our lives. Have you ever wondered why your life has been the way it is over the past decade, maybe? Maybe you need to start doing things different. Maybe you need to have a different perspective. Maybe you need to change the way you're doing things. Because the way you're doing things is exactly why you're experiencing what you're experiencing. Your experiences are the sum of the actions that you've taken. And so if you can change the actions that you take, your life experience will be different. And it all begins with perspective. And if you can say to yourself, I am going to have the joy of the Lord. I'm going to have the joy of the Lord. And I'm going to go through and I'm going to consult the Lord and Because maybe you're a down and outer person. You know, there are people who are like that. But you don't have to stay that way. So often people say, oh, well, it's just my personality. Well, change it then. Well, I guess just the way I am. Well, no, let Christ be in you. Let Christ arise. That's the whole idea of being a Christian. That's what it means to be born from above. You're born anew. You're no longer the same, but everything's changed. All things are passed away. Behold, everything is made new. Not new like you used to be. That's not new. That's the same old you, only you're just saying, I know Jesus now. But do you really know Jesus? What you really mean is you just know about Jesus now. So we don't want to be there. We want to experience the transforming power of God. And so Job is recognizing that nothing can change the plans of God. Nothing can thwart them. God's will shall be done. Even if he has to raise up somebody else to take your place. But ooh, that is not really what you want. You don't want that to be you. And so verse 3 says, Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. Job is moving from that place of pride where he was standing on his own two feet. He was a man of success and accomplishment. To now he's a man of humility. He has been yielded and surrendered himself before God. And he's recognizing, I need to trust in the Lord. I need to depend on you. You teach me. You instruct me. And this is where we need to be. This is where our hearts need to be. So often we say, oh, I got this. This is easy. I just get up, I go to work. I do my job, I come home. I go shopping for food and clothes or whatever I need. I fix things that are broken and replace things that need to be replaced. And, you know, I'm just doing the same old every day. No. No, we need to come to a place we're able to hear now and speak what the Lord would have us to say and allow him to instruct us. God wants to instruct us. Every day we need God to instruct us, to speak to us, to lead us, to guide us. And he says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. And so Job has come to a place of divine perspective. He's come to a place where he's able to not just hear, but he can see it. He can recognize it. And this is what changes people's lives. When they have the ability to see things, not just hear. Not just hear. And we know that we've encountered people and we say, hey, do you hear what I'm saying? And that's good. But Job says, I'm going one step further. I can see what you're saying. I can see, in fact, you. I see God in the midst of what I'm doing. All of my troubles, all of my struggles and all the problems that I had, my friends were blaming me and they were blaming, you know, my kids and blaming my household, the family. They were blaming everybody, everything. And they were coming up with all kinds of things. But now I see. It's you, God. It's you. And when you realize that it's God, that changes everything. Then you can have peace. Then you can rest. And you can know that God is with you. And you can trust in God. You can wait on him. You can say, well, I'm in the hands of the Lord. David said, I'd rather be in the hands of an angry God than in sinful men. Man, I tell you, wouldn't you rather be in the hands of God even if he was angry? Hallelujah. I know Job was happy. He was happy in the end, isn't that right? He went through all that he went through. He lost all that he lost. But now he says, man, you mean this is God? This is God. the devil. It's not all the things I did wrong. It's God refining me. And so often we go through things because God is trying to refine us. He's trying to speak to us. He's trying to get us to know and recognize his voice. And when we do, our eyes are open. And all of a sudden, you have an understanding. You have a perception that you did not have. You begin to see things that you did not see. Oh, I can tell you, that ought to be our everyday experiences. And I tell you, when I first got into ministry, you know, I used to put my messages and teachings together a certain way because it was the perspective that I had. But now I do it differently. I do it differently because now I see things differently. I see things from a different perspective. And so now God has shown me and God has spoken to me and I see how it all comes together. And that's because the Word of God is alive. And as you experience God, as you encounter God, he will reveal himself to you in more ways and different from different perspectives. And you'll begin to see things from a divine perspective that will enable you to build your testimony, to have a different life story. Because if your life story stays the same as the day you got saved, if it hasn't changed since then, shame, shame on you. Because you need to draw closer to God so he can open your eyes so that you can see. Oh, we all have heard the word of the Lord and our faith has been built up. But when you can see, oh, when you can see, that's totally, totally different. Oh, it just broadens everything. It doesn't mean that what you heard was wrong. It doesn't mean that the way you started out wasn't right. It was, but now you have more depth to your life and your abilities and your capabilities expand. So he says, therefore I retract and I repent in dust and ashes. Oh, here he is repenting. He's surrendering himself before God. He says, it came about after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. And so, here are Job's friends being chastised by God, even having the wrath of God kindled against them because they misrepresented God before Job. And I say that's a challenging thing. And it's a terrible thing when people speak into your life and they're telling you the wrong thing. And they're telling you things that are not of God as if they were. And speaking with authority in such ways that it causes you to believe what they're saying, and what they're saying is totally wrong. That's a terrible thing. And I would not want to be that person. Because that person will suffer the wrath of God. And sometimes we see people suffering. You know, we can't be so quick. You know, we've learned this as a church. You can't be so quick to bail people out all the time. Because sometimes it's God. And people are going through things and they're suffering, and we're bailing them out. We become enablers. And so rather than bringing people to a place where they call on God, they're looking for other people to save them. And they want other people that, well, nobody tried to help me. Well, nobody did this, or nobody did that, or nobody said this, or nobody said that. We need to learn how to hear from God. And when we align ourselves with God, everything changes. God will prepare a fish, or God will restore all that you have lost. And God will work with you until you get there. And he will shake you until you are aware. And he will mold you, and he will move you, and he will make you. And this is what God does, because God cares for us that much. And so, sometimes we end up suffering because somebody with us in the boat is running from God. Right? That's the other side. Sometimes we suffer because of somebody else's disobedience, somebody else's rebellion against God. And you just want to get them out the boat. But you have to become aware of it, right? I love that play. Why is your God cursing us? Did you guys see it? A lot of you did, right? Why is your God cursing us? What? They drew straws.
That's not a God. That's gambling. Can't draw straws.
Well, pagan men can draw straws. Job didn't draw a straw. Well, he did, but he was the guilty guy. He was just going along with it, hoping that it wasn't going to work out. Saying, this is nothing anyway. Drawing straws doesn't mean anything. It's just potluck. Well, when God gets into it, now you're in trouble. You pull out the straw, God said, yeah, you're the man. And that's what God does. When you're the child of God who's in rebellion against God, the whole world will become aware of it. You'll be exposed. God exposes you. Why? Because God wants you to get back on track. That's why he wants you to get to realign yourself, to do what is right. And that's what happened with Job. His perspective was wrong. His way of thinking was wrong. So God allowed all of these horrible, terrible things to happen to him for several reasons. One of them was his perspective was wrong. Of course, the main one is that God knew that he was going to stay true and be faithful to him, but he just had to go through a lot to prove to Satan that it was a man of God. And so many of us go through these challenges and these difficulties, and we find ourselves suffering, and God is really trying to refine us. So we don't have to call on God as if the devil was after us. Call on God as if you're in the hands of Jesus and he's scrubbing you in soapy water. Like the little baby whose face gets wet. Maybe a little soap gets in their eyes. And they're like, you're trying to drown me. No, I'm trying to bathe you. Right? And God is trying to bathe us. He's trying to cleanse us. He's trying to mold us and shape us. And so God does all of these things. He allows things to go through. And there are layers of what God is doing. He's impacting not only you, but he's impacting the people around you. And he's impacting people that are several layers deep into a connection with you that you don't even know exists. People who are just watching from afar. God is moving in such a diverse and manifest way that we don't even understand the magnitude of it. So all we can do is trust in God and know that God will sustain us. He will cover us. In John 20, Jesus and the disciples were there together, and after being in the upper room, Jesus comes in and Thomas is there. You remember this story. And he's there with Jesus, and Thomas had been doubting, and he had been saying, oh, Jesus couldn't have arisen from the dead. Yeah, even though he did tell us he would. But come on, my perspective is, and my experience is, nobody has ever had that happen. It's never happened before. It's never been done before. As far as I know, at least I've never seen it. Well, I know that Jesus raised people from the dead, and I know that he did, but we're talking about Jesus, and he was dead. We buried him, and that's it. And so, blah, 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 blah. He had all this stuff he didn't believe. And then Thomas was there in this upper room when Jesus comes in. And I like the scene, how it's set. You know, it says Jesus comes in, the doors having been shut. And he stood in their midst, and he says, peace be with you. How do you have peace when Jesus just showed up through locked doors in the midst of you? You're like, how did you do that? Jesus, we've been with you for 3 years. You never did that. Right? You never did that. be like, okay. And then you would just start babbling because what do you say? You don't even know what to say. And so he's there and he says to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands and your hand and put it into my side and don't be unbelieving, but believing. You see that wording? First of all, Thomas is so freaked out right now. And I'm sure that this is the first thing Jesus is saying after peace be with you, Thomas. That's like, oh man. Oh man, he's calling me out. I'm in trouble. This guy just appeared in the room and now he's calling me. Now it's about me. And now he wants me to put my fingers in the hand. No! Ah! Oh no! But I better do this. But he just can't bring himself to do it because he realizes his shortcoming. He recognized that he was unbelieving. And it's interesting what Jesus says. He says, don't be unbelieving. How do you not be unbelieving? If you don't believe something, how do you change that around? You ever think about that? You really can't, because your whole perspective is a certain way, and you can't just change to another perspective unless something divine happens. And Jesus showing up in that room was a divine change. Something powerful happened. A man came through the walls and stood in their midst and showed them holes in his hands, in his side, in his feet, and said, hey, don't be unbelieving, but believing. And that's what Jesus did. Could you imagine if Jesus came back these days? He couldn't, because everybody's shoes covered their feet. So you can't see their holes. He had sandals, right? Sandals enable you to see holes in feet. That's right. Hallelujah. And now we cover up, right? We don't have robes, and you know, you can see some skin and some, you know, you can't say, see? You have to be like, Jesus said, I got to come during a season when, you know, clothes aren't so complicated, where it's kind of easy. So he shows up and he was like, see? 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 1, 2, 3. Put your hand in there. Change your perspective. A change of perspective requires a divine encounter with Jesus. And that's what Thomas had. He had a divine encounter with Jesus. And what does he say? My Lord and my God. I'm not putting my hands in those holes, but I know that you're the Son of God. I believe now. Everything's changed for me. This is remarkably, unbelievably powerful. And that change is what changes people's lives. And if we can help people to see Jesus, it will change their lives. Because people have the wrong perspective of who Jesus is, of who God is, of how their relationship with God ought to be and what it ought to be. People's perspective of the church is wrong. It's off. Church people have the wrong perspective of church. Been in church their whole lives and still have the wrong perspective. And we have to be able to have a divine perspective on life. On everything that we do. Jesus says to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Not heard, because he had the opportunity to hear. They had already told him Jesus was alive. They had already testified, but now he needed to see. And that's what the world is looking for. The world has heard about Jesus their whole lives, the history of mankind. People are hearing about Jesus. The problem is not the hearing. The problem is they need a perspective. They need to be able to see. And if you cannot see, it's hard to believe. He says, blessed are they who did that's where God wants us to be. Change your perspective. Be open to the fact that God is doing something in your life. Thomas was not an unbeliever. He wasn't somebody who didn't believe in Jesus. He just wasn't believing the report. He wasn't believing the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. His perspective was wrong. And God wants us to know that the perspective that we have needs to align with God's. When our perspective aligns with God's perspective, when you see what God sees and from his perspective, then everything will change in your life and you will have a greater life experience. He says, don't be unbelieving, be believing. That says you have the power to change. You have the power to change if you're depending on God. And if you're trusting in God and you're saying, God, help me to see. God, open my eyes. God, make a way for me that I may be able to see. In Mark 15:33, it says, when the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders heard it, and they began saying, he's calling for Elijah. And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink, saying, let's see if Elijah will take him down. See, this is the bad perspective. This is the wrong perspective. And they understood that Jesus was, if he was the Messiah, that he would come and set up his kingdom. They had this whole earthly concept and perception of the kingdom of God. People still to this day have the same mentality. They think that it's all about the kingdom of this world, about Christ coming in, about having a position of authority or being somebody of importance. No, it is not. And so Jesus utters a loud cry and he breathes his last. And at that, all of their aspirations went up in smoke, because their whole idea of what they thought was of God just went away because Jesus died. And it says the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and then there was this centurion. Here's a Roman guy down here who was part of this whole crucifixion. And there he is. And he's standing right in front of Jesus. And he saw the way he breathed his last. Just seeing the way Jesus breathed his last. He said, truly, this man was the Son of God. That's a revelation. That's a change in perspective. And that is God bringing revelation to this man. And that's what we need, isn't it? We need a divine perspective. Saul was breathing threats and was actually persecuting Christians, Acts 9:1, and he was going after them. In fact, he was on his way to pursue more believers, and along that road that he was going, he had a divine encounter. It says that Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, and went to the high priest, and he asked for letters from him to the synagogue at Damascus so that he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So he had this perspective that he was going to do what was right for God, because he was someone who represented the church, and he represented the kingdom of God. He was a part of the body of Christ. And so he was coming in and deciding that these Christians are violating the law, and they are misrepresenting what is true and what is right, and they're totally off and wrong. In fact, they're heretics, and they are people who need to be wiped out. And so he went after them, wanting to kill those who followed the way of the Lord. And so as he was traveling, it says that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Here's Jesus speaking from heaven. Now, he's already ascended. We're in the book of Acts here, 9 chapters deep. And Jesus is still revealing himself to people. And I would submit to you that God is revealing himself to people today. God will and will always reveal himself to people. We were sharing in our the men's prayer a couple of weeks ago, and I was telling the story of a missionary who I met at Grace Point. We were sitting around, and we were just sharing. I wasn't sharing. I was listening. And then he was sharing missionary stories and told us the story. And a short version is of a woman who had heard about Jesus in a place that was completely remote. In fact, it was an unreached people group where no one had ever been, no missionaries had ever been to bring the gospel. And this team of people went into this remote area and began to share about Christ. And when they got there, they said, "We know about Jesus." And they were saying, "How in the world can this possibly be?" And they said, "Well, Jesus meets with a friend of ours in the evenings and cites poetry." And they said, "Well, we need to meet this person." And so they said, "Well, okay." And they took her to the woman's house, and they were talking to the woman, and she said, "Yes, absolutely, you know, in my room as I'm sitting here." And Jesus comes in. He comes in through the window. There's a big light that comes in, and then he stands here, and he cites poetry to me. And she said, "What?" And so they, you know, they're skeptical, he's telling me, and he's saying, "Well, you know, we just couldn't believe it because, you know, that's ridiculous." And so we thought that maybe it was some false god or some voodoo thing or some, you know, some ancient ritual that they were a part of. And he said, so they didn't believe her. But then the woman said, "Well, I have a friend who also meets with Jesus." And then they said, "Well, what do you mean you have a friend who meets with Jesus?" He says, "Yeah, you know, she lives in the next village over. And I believe she even wrote it down, what he said." She said, "I can't write, so I couldn't write it down. I just listened to his poetry. He would just speak to me." And so they said, "Well, can we meet this woman?" And so he said, "Well, yes, absolutely." And so they went over to the next village, and they found the woman. And she said, "Oh, absolutely, we know Jesus. He says he comes every so often, and he meets with me late at night, and we walk down this road together. And as we walk together, he walks with me. He's got a white robe, and he even has a turban, and he kind of has this light about him, and it's a wonderful feeling to be with him." And he walks down the road, and he quotes poetry to me. And they said, "Well, what does he say? What does he say?" And she says, the other woman couldn't remember what he was saying. And she says, I don't know, but it's beautiful poetry, but I wrote some down." And they said, "Can we see what you wrote down?" And they had a translator. And so they take the woman back. She goes back to her house, and she it's a hut, little hut, and she's got papers, and she's found with the papers where she wrote it down, and she starts reading. It says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but stands in the way of sinners." And she begins reading through, and it was the first Psalm, Psalm 1. And she was hearing the Psalms. It was poetry. It was Jesus reading and speaking the Psalms to them. And she had several pages of Psalms. And as they went through, they found several Psalms going through in her own handwriting. It was amazing. It was astounding. Because these people God will bring a revelation. That group was astounded. They were shocked. In fact, the guy who was telling me this story, he said, it changed my whole theological position on God and on presenting the gospel. So Jesus says, Saul says, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Jesus revealed himself to Saul, who had the wrong perspective. His heart was really to do what was right before God, but his perspective was wrong. And so Jesus had to step in to bring correction. So he says, get up and enter the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. Because he was blinded by the light. And the men who traveled with him, they stood speechless. They heard the voice, but they couldn't see anyone. And believe me, when God wants to reach you, he will reach you. And you don't have to worry about what other people say, because they may not have heard what you heard. In fact, it says that they heard a voice, but they couldn't recognize what was being said. And all they knew was that Saul was talking. And he was saying what he was saying, but they couldn't discern what the voice of the Lord was actually saying. Saints of God, when God wants to speak to you, he will speak to you and you alone. He will reveal things to you and you alone. Not so you can go and tell the world, but so that you can change your ways. Change your perspective. And begin to do things God's way. Trusting in him. Learning his ways. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. That's how powerful the experience was. You know, when your appetite is taken away, you've had a powerful experience. Hallelujah. And so there he was, 3 days. Like Jonah, 3 days. Like Jesus, 3 days. And so Job says, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. So you should have confidence today. And you should know today that God loves and cares for you, and everything that's happening in your life is for a reason, for a purpose. And God's desire is to draw you closer to him so he can reveal himself to you, so that you can get past just hearing and begin to see that God is, and he is able.